Now I'll read today's Bible passage. Today's passage from the New Testament, from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 through 44. Once again, the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 40 through 44. Please open your Bibles. A man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus was indignant. He reached out his hand and touched the man. "I am willing," he said. "Be clean." Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. "See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them." Please allow me to pray. Dear beloved Heavenly Father, we are here to lift your name on high. Thank you once again for allowing us to come before you today and to be able to worship you. We're so thankful. Lord, we know that you are always with us. We also know that you know all of our needs and you satisfy them. We know, Lord, that in our daily lives, you always are putting your hand out toward us, and you're allowing us to live and walk in your peace. Lord, we know that in Tokyo, the Olympics have begun, and that around the world, many people are watching it, and of course, the athletes are competing as well. We ask, Lord, that this competition be something that be a symbol of peace in amongst a lot of darkness that's going on around the world. So we ask for your guidance and protection over the event. We're about to have a message today on the passage that was just read, and we are very much looking forward to that. Allow us, Lord, to be able to completely understand it and to be able to apply it in our daily lives. Please watch over Pastor Joey as he gives the message this morning. With thanksgiving, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hello, everyone. Last week, Pastor Ishitobi gave the message. And there's some ways that people say that I'm similar to him. And actually, a couple years ago when he was here, he gave a message. And the next week, some people came up to me and said, "Oh, thank you so much for the message last week." and so it seems that we actually maybe are similar. And Zento-kun is Ishitobi's youngest son, and he calls me dad sometimes. Last week, though, Pastor Ishitobi really gave him a message very applicable to this church, so we're very thankful for him. Today, we're going to be looking at the book of Mark again. And we're continuing to go through this book, as you know. Today, we're going to be looking specifically at passages 40 through 44. I have a really abrupt question for you, but here it is. What is love? What do you think it is? If you were asked, how would you respond? What is love? It's really an immense question. And in many ways, people are thinking about this through dramas and novels and movies and all kinds of different things. Many people are trying to figure this out as they grow up in their lives. And for some men who can't even sit down for 5 minutes, if they have some woman they really like, they'll sit down for hours, like all night long, trying to write out a love letter to that person. And then in the middle of the night, they've completed this amazing thing, and they wake up in the morning to check it, and they're like, oh, this is really terrible. And then they just, you know, shred it up and throw it away. And this phenomenon is actually called something. It's called the Midnight Love Letter Phenomenon. So in some ways, we too are really people on a trip looking to find the answer to what is true love. However, the definition of love as defined by the world is really vague, because if you ask 10 people, they'll likely tell you 10 different things. They'll say, well, it means you love someone else or you like someone else. And it can also be used actually to hurt people. You say, well, I loved you, so I did something. And so it could go both ways. So the word love is really used in so many different ways that many people probably forget about what it really means in this particular era we're living in today. So who is it that we should be asking to find out what really love is? Well, some people can ask children, because children have a really direct perspective and they're very pure in their thinking. And sometimes they have a lot of interesting ideas that actually are quite true. So in America, there was a survey made for children ages 4 through 8, and I will tell you a couple of their answers. There was a girl named Rebecca who's 8 years old, and she said that her grandmother got arthritis in her back and wasn't able to paint her toenails anymore, so her grandfather did that after she got arthritis, and she says that is love. There was a girl by the name of Emily, 8 years old, who responded by saying that love is kissing year-round, and that's to, you know, spend time with somebody you like being with, and she says that her parents were just like that. However, she said that her parents' kissing was really unpleasant. So, if your parents, keep that in mind with your children. Another one really was quite interesting, by Nika, who is 6 years old. They said that if you want to learn about love, first start by becoming friends with those you dislike. So she's a really amazing theologian at age 6. So when you hear these expressions of love by the little children, you can really think about what love is and realize it's not just a word we use. Love has something to do with the actions we do as well, not just the word itself. Today we're learning about Jesus and how he was expressing love to people with leprosy. Let's look again first at the content of today's passage. So leprosy is an interesting word, how it's translated. In the original Greek, it actually is a word called lepra, and it was actually a specific type of skin disease with no cure, and it's also been translated as Hansen's disease at times. In the Palestine area at that time, was found that Hansen's disease did not take place then, so it's kind of interesting to figure out exactly what translation is most appropriate. So leprosy was a very specific type of a skin disease that could not have a cure. Around the year 1500 BC, when the law was given to Moses, and to 30 AD when Jesus was on the scene, there was no record of any Jewish person ever being cured of leprosy. In the Old Testament, there is a record of 2 people being cured of leprosy. The first person is Moses' oldest sister by the name of Miriam, and the other person was very famous Naaman, who was a general and went in the Jordan River in and out 7 times and got cured. Miriam was actually cured before Moses' law was put into place, and Naaman was cured, but he was not a Jew, but a Gentile. So in the period of 1500 BC to 30 AD, there was no Jewish person who was ever cured of leprosy. But there's really something quite interesting about this, and that's that according to Moses' law, if you read in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14, it talks about what to do if a Jew is cured of leprosy. So why would they have such a record in the Bible if there was no cure for that for a people? In those days, the people the leaders and the scholars in that time had predicted that when the Messiah came, he would provide the cure to leprosy. So that's why they had this definition of what to do about it in Leviticus chapters 13 and 14. In other words, they were convinced that only the Messiah could cure this disease. And in today's passage, this leper that comes to Jesus was one who was Jewish. And it was the priest's job at that time to determine if a person was clean or not clean, ceremonially clean or not clean, with a leprosy. And if they were judged to be to be with a leprosy, then they really had a terrible life because they were determined to be ceremonially unclean. They couldn't go into any tabernacle or temple. They had to be distanced from their family and had to be quarantined in a specific area. In other words, as soon as they were diagnosed or judged by this, their religious life, social life, and family life was all taken away from them. So this would have been a very distraught time for those people. And here we can see just how brave, in a sense, Jesus would have been to go up to somebody like that, and how a person would have done that. It says, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." That's what the leper said. So this "if you are willing" wording here, what does that mean? Well, it's showing how the leper believed how Jesus had the ability to kill, to clean or cure him. However, he wasn't sure that Jesus would do it or not. It's likely he would have had a very difficult life and wasn't really sure whether Jesus would do that or not. So how is it that Jesus responded to him? Well, in verse 41, it says, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Jesus could have just cured him with a word, but he made the specific action to touch him. And from a Japanese perspective, we might just like read past this and not think anything of it. But in those days, to touch someone with leprosy would have been the act of having uncleanliness come upon yourself, according to the Pharisees. So that's why it was prohibited to touch anyone with leprosy. However, Jesus touched him in order to heal him internally. And it doesn't say in the Bible how long he had had leprosy. However, whenever he got it, from that date, he would have not been able to touch anybody physically. He would have likely had a very deep solitude in his heart because of this. So Jesus wanted to touch him to heal not only his physical disease, but his heart. He would have been very excited to be touched by Jesus and touched alone. He realized that he was loved by Jesus and could see that and hear it. Then Jesus said, "Be clean. I am willing. Be clean." And then the leprosy completely went away. He was completely cleansed. Then Jesus said to him in verse 44, "See that you don't tell this to anyone." And so the reason why he was saying this is that he didn't want the crowds to have a mistaken understanding about what he had just done. He then said that the previous leper was to go and to show himself to a priest and offer sacrifices. And through this procedure, then he would be completely allowed to go back into the Jewish community. In today's passage, Jesus executed that which only the Messiah was said to be able to do. And so it proved who he was. That's basically today's content. So from today's passage, though, let's see what we can learn. And let's see what we can apply. There's two points we'd like to look at in this crossing boundaries theme. The first point is love that crosses boundaries. In the society that we live in, there are all kinds of different boundaries around us. For example, national and prefectural boundaries. There are also boundaries between houses and buildings. There's not just physical boundaries, but there's also psychological boundaries as well that impact us. It's likely that depending on the different people in your lives, you may open or close those. So boundaries in and of themselves actually help protect us and are very important for many different reasons. However, in social boundaries, sometimes there are some that actually should not exist. And those are boundaries that bring about discrimination and prejudice. In today's passage, Jesus was talking to someone who, in crossing a boundary that he should not have been crossing from the world's perspective. And in this way, he was able to come in contact with a leper. In Jesus' life on this earth, he also crossed other boundaries at other times. For example, he crossed the boundary of men and women. And he also crossed the boundary of men and interacting with women, as well as the boundary between races. He talked to Samaritans, which the Jewish people in those days should not have done according to the world's rules. Jesus also, when you're thinking about the boundaries that Jesus crossed, his existence in and of itself was crossing a huge boundary because it was crossing the boundary between people and God. He became a person and came to this earth. In the U.S., there's a TV program called Undercover Boss, and in Japan as well, it's also been shown. It's a pretty popular show. The content of the TV is that these presidents of various major companies pretend that they're being interviewed for a contract employee position. They take the position, and then they see how their company is running from an employee's perspective. As time passes, though, eventually they say, actually, I'm the president of this company or the manager of the company or something like that. And then they allow the various requests of the employees to be granted. So it's showing how a president becomes very humble to the position of an employee. We, too, can learn from Jesus' position as he came from the high position of God down to that of human and was very humble in various ways. However, there's one huge difference in this, and that's that in the TV program, the managers and presidents that come through there, they don't, you know, give up their president position to become a contract employee. They always have it retained, but then just go back to it. But Jesus, on the other hand, although he was God, he let that go to become a human while he was here on earth. In Philippians 2:6-7, it says, who, Jesus, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of the servant being made in human likeness. So why is it that Jesus was willing to give up the glory of heaven to come down here to earth? Well, it's because he had a love that wanted to cross an even greater boundary. And that is, as was mentioned before, the boundary between people and God. He wanted to stand between that and stand on the boundary of sin. The Bible states that Adam and Eve's sin is something that's been passed down to all generations and all people worldwide. And God is a righteous and holy God. He can't have a sin in his presence. So sin is a huge problem for us because we cannot reconnect with God. And even regardless of our efforts, we cannot resolve this issue. And we are all headed for destruction. However, Jesus Christ didn't just give up on us. Over 2,000 years ago, he came to this earth. And at the end of his life on the cross, he gave his life for all of our sins, taking all of that punishment upon himself. And he died. Then on the third day, he rose again, resolving the problem of sin for all humanity. And that boundary has now been totally blown away. Sin in of itself is something that we cannot resolve in and of ourselves. We must depend on Jesus, and we can learn about that through seeing Jesus' example here when he's dealing with this leper. And we too can have our hearts cleaned and purified through believing in him. When we receive the love of Jesus expressed on the cross, then our relationship with God can be renewed. And when Jesus was here on this earth, once again, he expressed love through Christ crossing various boundaries. The second point we would like to look at today is, as someone who loves the people around him crossing such borders. So Jesus expressed love in various ways to various people, and that greatly impacted them. In history, we can see that people who have been touched by his love have really worked hard to resolve various problems such as discrimination and even holding civil rights movement for the liberation of various people. This is all done because of the true love for God that is in our hearts if we believe. In the past, we all didn't know exactly what love was at one point, but in the acceptance of Jesus' death on the cross and resurrection, we can finally know what love is. In 1 John 4, 8-9, it says, "Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him." So when we experience and accept the love of Jesus on the cross, we are able to express that to other people in a very natural way. And that's not because we've made any effort on our part. It's because when we believe in Jesus Christ, then we know that Jesus in of himself comes to live in us in the form of the Holy Spirit. In today's passage, we see how Jesus was expressing his mercy upon the leper, and in the same way, Jesus has mercy upon all humans. In the U.S., there was a civil rights movement for the liberation of black people in the past, and in that time, there was one white guy who was participating in this movement. And the TV crowd came up to ask him why he was participating in this event when he was white and why he was standing up for the blacks. And the young man responded by saying that he, in and of himself, wasn't really sure of why he was against discrimination, but he was... He didn't really have any experience in that or grew up in the South. However, he said that he grew up knowing the love of Jesus Christ, and because of knowing the love of Jesus Christ, that was what compelled him to participate in this demonstration. In the same way, Jesus living in ourselves will enable us to be able to express our love his love to others. When we come to meet Jesus Christ, he truly changes us from the inside out. I would like to share one more story with you today. In the Second World War, this is when it happened. In Kobe, Hyogo Prefecture, there was a Japanese and American half child who was fourth grade. by the name of Yasusuke Shiga. And at that time, Americans were looked down upon, and because he was a half Japanese, half American, he was really looked down upon. His classmates were very mean to him on pretty much a daily basis. And every day he was just wanting to die. There was one day in particular when he was surrounded by his classmates and beat up, and he told them to stop. And when he was doing so, there was another kid who walked past, and he said to the group of kids beating him up, he said, "Stop it. Are you really human?" And the kids there were like, "But he's American. He's the enemy, so it doesn't matter what we do to him." But the kid who'd walked past responded by saying, "No, that's not right. It doesn't matter if he's American or if he's Japanese, because if he's human, it's all the same." So the kids who were beating him up just all of a sudden got really quiet. And the kid who was had walked past saying this, they realized was like one who was well-respected at the school. And so the kid who asked him to stop beating up the fourth grader asked another kid to go to his house and get comic books, and he ended up giving these comic books to the half kid. And then he just said, "Well, I actually go to, you know, Sunday school." And then he walked off. So the young boy was really wanting to thank him, but unfortunately wasn't able to ever see him again. It's possible that the kid was, possibly killed in the war. However, because of this, Shiga was really impacted. It truly impacted his life, and because he remembered the kid saying that he went to Sunday school at church, and so Shiga just remembered that. Later on, he ended up going to church and professed faith in Christ and actually became a pastor. So that young boy really impacted Shiga, and his act of crossing a boundary, showing love that to one that shouldn't have received it in the world's eyes, really had a huge impact. In the same way, we have Jesus in our hearts. And he can help us to express love to others who maybe the world doesn't think deserve love. Today, we've once again been looking at the theme of crossing boundaries. Because of COVID, our lives have really changed, and we're really limited with physical contact with others because of this. Not only physical contact, but there's also many psychological boundaries as well. However, in this solitude, some people are really starting to wonder about, you know, the fear of death and anxiety of the future and so on. And it's our job, in a sense, to show them the love of Christ. Of course, there is various responsibilities we have as Christians. However, there are some things we can do to help others, even if it means crossing a boundary. We can learn from Jesus' love and be guided by him to be able to express it to others. Let's pray and close today. Oh, we have one more passage first. 1 Corinthians 13:13. "And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love." Now let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this service today. Thank you for allowing us to learn from Jesus' interaction with the leper and how he was crossing various boundaries to be able to express your love. We know that Jesus' love is something that we can truly understand when we accept His love expressed for us on the cross. And we thank You for Jesus being with us at all times. We thank You for His mercy upon us. And we want to be people who can show such mercy to others in our lives, especially in this time of COVID that's really dragging along. This provides us with a great opportunity to show Your love and mercy on many people. We ask, Lord, that You use each and every one of us to do so. Please use us, Lord, and guide us in how to do this. And we ask that in each and every person's prayers, Lord, that they can think of think of somebody that they can be helping and expressing Your love to them at this time. We thank You once again for this time this morning. Pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment in silence. I'll pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all now and forevermore. Amen. That concludes today's service.